The beginning of a new year is a real mixed bag, isn't it? There's no one-size-fits-all for how we're feeling stepping into 2022. Some will start this year without a loved one for the first time. For some will start this year watching people we care about suffering. Some will start the year full of hopes and dreams, with positive changes just around the corner. For others, there'll be an ache in our hearts at the hopes and dreams that seem to slip ever further away. For some, this year is a fresh start, a turning of the page, and there's an excitement that comes with that. For others, there'll be trepidation. What challenges will we face this year that will draw on our already depleted reserves? Wherever we may be at personally, we look around our country and our world, and things can seem pretty fragile and unpredictable. It would be easy for us to walk into this year fearful and to allow that fear to shape the way we live day to day. But if we reflect on the last year, in all the ups and downs that we faced as we journeyed through, did God not walk with us every step of the way, day by day, gently leading and guiding, growing and encouraging us along the journey? A journey that we may not have chosen for ourselves, but one that taught us more about Him and His awesome love for us. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purpose of the Lord will prevail. Last year may not have been what any of us wanted, but God, in His great goodness and providence, gave us the year we each needed to continue shaping us into His likeness, and He kept us every step of the way. And this year will be the same. We will each have our own hopes and fears, our dreams and our plans, but it is the Lord's will that will prevail. It mightn't be what we ask for, but it will be good in that big picture sense of the word. For our God is a good and gracious King who works for the good of those who love Him, who He has called according to His purpose. And He will keep us every step of the way. So perhaps instead of worrying about what this year will bring or planning what it is we want to achieve or gain, perhaps our focus should be different this year. Less about the what and more about the how. How can we live well this year, whatever God has in store for us? How do we live wisely in this ever-changing world? In the messy trenches of the daily grind with the good, the bad, and the vast stretches of mundane, in the face of the inevitable ups and downs, how can we live with godly strength and courage and conviction? How do we live well? How do we live wisely? This morning we turn to Proverbs, a little book of wisdom written some 3,000 years ago. Together with Ecclesiastes and Job, it makes up the Old Testament's wisdom literature. Each book complements the others as they paint for us a truly remarkable picture of the awesome wisdom and sovereignty of our great God, the Creator, Sustainer and Redeemer of life. And Proverbs is like a little treasure chest that's all too rarely opened. Wisdom inspired by God, written down by various human authors, including Solomon, and takes the form of a father instructing his son on how to live well. And in the most wonderful way, it dresses godliness and godly living in working clothes, to use the words of Derek Kidner. It talks about the gritty details of life, everyday relationships, everyday issues, everyday tasks, and it applies the lens of godliness to them, instructing us how to live with justice and righteousness and fairness in the day-to-day rough and tumble. Proverbs is all about how to navigate life well, how to live wisely. But this leaves us with two questions. What is this wisdom that Proverbs speaks of? And how do we get it? Well, let's look at Proverbs, starting from verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behaviour, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. These opening verses of Proverbs lay out for us the different qualities that make up wisdom. One commentator says that it breaks down the plain daylight of wisdom into its constituent colours. Firstly, we see instruction in verses 2 and 3, and this has a connotation of discipline or correction. It's what parents do with children. Instruct them on how to do something and allow them to experience the consequences should they not follow it. Instruction must be submitted to in order to grow in ability and wisdom. None of us are wise or disciplined by birth. We all arrive in this world without wisdom. And it's the same when we're born again, when we become Christ followers. We don't have the wisdom in us naturally to live a godly life. It's through God's word and God's spirit that we can grow in wisdom. And we see this idea of instruction then is not just about learning, it's not about information, but it's truth applied to life. It doesn't come by listening to lectures, it comes by disciplined discipleship. The idea of instruction is that we put it into practice in our everyday lives, that we are willing to learn the hard and uncomfortable lessons of discipline and discipleship. Are we a people who genuinely heed God's instruction? Verse 2 continued, for understanding words of insight. Insight is being able to see below the surface, to see what's really going on. And we need this so often in life, don't we? Particularly in this technological age where we have an infinite pool of information at our fingertips. Yet so much of us leads us down rabbit holes that into territory that's either fruitless or unhealthy. The wise person won't easily be duped. The wise will know where to focus their attention, who to listen to. And here's a hint, it's not social media. It's not our favourite political commentator or our favourite news outlet. When we submit to the Lord's instruction, to God's word, God's wisdom, God's discipline, we gain insight, clarity in life. Verse 3, to receive instruction in prudent behaviour, doing what is right and fair and just. Now, prudence is a word that's pretty old-fashioned, and it means shrewdness or wise dealing. Prudence is thinking things through rightly, making careful decisions, and seeing them through to completion. It's about knowing the ropes, knowing how to be sensible in the way we act, going through life with both feet planted firmly on the ground. And this is what wisdom gives us. Shrewd understanding that enables us to make good choices. And there's an ethical element to wisdom too, doing what is right and just and fair. And this is really interesting because our culture tends to separate the intellectual from the ethical or moral. But intelligence alone doesn't necessarily correspond to making right decisions. Intelligence can be used for evil, and world history is littered with examples of this. But for the wise person, the ethics of what they do or say is very much part of the equation. In Proverbs, to be a wise person means to be a moral person. No matter how bright someone may be, if they don't live right, Proverbs says they're not wise. Verse 4, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Now, knowledge is an intimate word in the Old Testament. And so the author here is speaking of a deep involvement in life, a passion for engaging in life, which again is very different from our culture, where aloofness or a certain cynical detachment is seen as cool. But the wise person of Proverbs engages with life wholeheartedly, boots and all. And they do this with discretion, a word that means inventiveness and creativity. This kind of thinking is so necessary if we're going to be prepared for the shifting sands of life. And finally, verse 5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Now, learning is not just an informed mind, but a track record of behaviour and character that makes a person respected and sought after for advice and help. We all know people like this. People who we turn to in times of need, who are experienced and accomplished in godly living. We see the fruits of godly wisdom in their lives and we value them for it. Folk like this are so desperately needed in the church today. And notice how Proverbs speaks of increasing in wisdom. This is a lifelong goal, a lifelong process. And this is so encouraging. Though no one is born with the wisdom that Proverbs speaks of, it's something that can be attained in ever-increasing measure, should we be humble enough and disciplined enough to pursue it. And it is a pursuit. It's an active process. Proverbs 2 speaks of turning our ears to wisdom, applying our hearts to it, searching for it as for hidden treasure. We will never stop learning and growing if we remain committed to the path of wisdom. And so we see from these verses that wisdom is not something that's reserved for the ultra-intelligent. In fact, it's got very little to do with intelligence or IQ at all. Rather, wisdom is practical. It equips us to live well. It is a skill in understanding life and people and circumstances and navigating it all with shrewdness, inventiveness, creativity and discernment, living a disciplined, upright and grounded life, knowing right from wrong and choosing good from evil in all things. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to live like that this year? Whatever God has in store for us, to live well, to live wisely, to see the bigger picture, while all the time keeping our feet firmly planted on the ground, to rise up and meet the challenges that come our way and to navigate through them well, walking in paths of justice and righteousness and fairness, regardless of the circumstances. How can we do this? How do we get wisdom? Proverbs tells us that there is only one foundation. There is only one way to gain wisdom. And we see it in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is wisdom. We see this again in chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And this theme crops up again at the close of the book, where we have this beautiful portrayal of a wise woman, an illustration of someone who embodies all that Proverbs has been speaking of. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also. And he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And the key to her remarkable character comes next. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is what Proverbs is all about. And beginning doesn't mean starting point, as in we start there and then we move on. Rather, it points to the one foundation, the only place where it's found. It's where we start in our pursuit of wisdom, and it's where we stay. Wisdom's only foundation is the fear of the Lord. And this is a relational phrase. It speaks of how we relate to God. It's not the same as being terrified or cowering in fear. Rather, it's proper awe and reverence and respect for the covenant faithful God, the God who makes and keeps his promises. It's knowing who to respect and how to place ourselves rightly in relationship to him. The Bible speaks of an exceptional intimacy that we can enjoy with the sovereign creator God. It speaks of him as our heavenly Father, the one who delights in his people, who sings over them, who carries them close to his heart. Yet the Bible never loses the sense of his otherness. We are not God's equals. We are his creation. Fear of the Lord is remembering this. It is treating God as God. The one who loves us with extravagant love, yes, but the one who rules over us with justice and righteousness and holiness. The one who has wisdom and knowledge that far surpasses anything we could even imagine. The one who has ultimate power and authority over all things and is drawing all things to their perfect completion in his perfect timing. The fear of the Lord is letting God be God in our lives. It is humbling ourselves before him, recognizing that we are limited in every way and he has no limit at all. It is allowing God to sit as king on the throne of our lives instead of foolishly thinking that we can do it better. David Jackman comments that it is God's character, God's truth, God's word that opens up the path of wisdom, not my bright ideas, my prejudices, or my preferences. The fear of the Lord turns worldly wisdom on its head. Notice how godly wisdom is deeply relational. We should never think that there is a wisdom we can gain that will make us independent. The great tragedy in the Garden of Eden was Adam and Eve looking for a wisdom that was independent of God's revelation. God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." But when they rejected God's word, the wisdom Adam and Eve thought they had proved to be total folly. And Proverbs doesn't mince words when it comes to those who refuse to turn to God, those who reject him. They are fools. Those who will not come to God and humble themselves before him are fools. They despise wisdom and they will perish. It is the Lord and the Lord alone who gives wisdom. From his mouth, that is his word, comes knowledge and understanding. It is never the product of a human mind. Wisdom is formed in us as the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and minds and works in and through what is seen and heard in the pages of Scripture, in God's word. Through God's word, we see his wisdom in his actions, in creation, in his providential care for the world, in his redemption, in the new creation. Through God's word, we see his wisdom in his character, in who he is and the way he relates to what he has made. Our God, the Creator. Our God, the Redeemer. Through God's words, we develop wisdom in understanding God's world as he has made it and as he orders it. Through his Spirit applying his words to our hearts and minds, we come to think rightly about God and about his relationship with us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To live well this year, to live wisely, we must let God be God in our hearts, in our lives, in our circumstances and in our relationships, in the church, in the world around us. We must trust God and obey him, whatever circumstances this year may bring, however random or irregular it may all seem, because there is an order to it all. Our God is sovereign. Our God is wise. He is working out his will in our lives and in our world. So let him be God of our lives this year. Every aspect hand over to him. Let's loosen our grip. Let's let go of our pride and humble ourselves before the God of all wisdom. Let us dig deep into his word, asking him to transform us through it. Let us walk in his ways this year, trusting in his sustaining grace and his steadfast goodness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let God be God of your life this year. Amen.